When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see, we have a special guest in the house today.
Yes, we do. Oh, shit.
Yeah. He is a fellow comedian.
Right.
A show creator.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Patrick Madison.
Yeah.
Where can they find you at, Patrick?
What's up? You can find me on Instagram at Patrick Madison Jokes. And on my Facebook, just Patrick Madison.
You on TikTok today?
No.
You on post?
I thought I just friended you on TikTok.
You might have. I mean, I have an account on TikTok, but I haven't maintained it for months. So.
It's hard enough
for me to maintain my Facebook and Instagram shit. If Facebook didn't automatically post to Instagram, I wouldn't have an Instagram account either.
Okay.
So it was a Nigerian schemer I friended. Yeah, like, damn it.
Again, I always pretended to be me on there.
I have another friend anyway.
So to the Midnight Paco Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right. Let me just explain to you guys, like, when we first started doing comedy, we started at the Funny Stop.
That's right.
You will be amazed how, for me, my first 5 minutes, what Pete would have told you, it was what'd he say to everybody?
Oh, it was a minute, what, minute?
He'd be like, cool, see, 2 minutes.
Yeah, some shit.
In our early days of comedy, you know, we would see comics perform on stage, and it was like we wanted that comfortability.
Yes, yes.
Patrick Madison is definitely one of the ones that we looked at and we was like, wow.
Yeah.
If we could only be comfortable like this dude.
Comfortable, funny.
Funny and comfortable.
In the room, just on the stage, you know what I'm saying? And the jokes were hilarious.
Right.
I don't want to give up your bit, but...
making me uncomfortable right now.
I'm just saying, we already talked about it prior to, but no, man, it's just, when you see that, it's just, because you're new in the game, you know what I mean? Everyone thinks they're funny, and you go on stage, and you get laughs, but there's a difference when you're robotic. I'll play my first set, and I'm robotic as shit.
Right.
I went up there trying to memorize every fucking thing I thought of.
At least you planned what you were going to do, man.
Yes.
Most people just wing it.
Well.
I wung it. I kind of wung it. Not my first time. I had like ideas, but then most of my set was just improvised while I was up there. I got all my laughs from improvised.
But
jokes.
That's a great skill.
So
to have.
Did you start?
But it's a skill, or I'm saying, but it wasn't like I didn't even know that it was a skill that I had. It's that you should plan your 5 minutes when you do
100%, 100%. Yeah, because we've seen people
like,
up
I'm
going to
write jokes, yes. And I'm going to understand those jokes and how what makes them funny, and then I'm going to go do comedy.
100%. Yeah, I agree.
Did you start the Funny Stop as well?
Me? Yes. Yeah, the first set I ever did, the first bunch of sets I ever did were at the Funny Stop. I didn't know of any open mics in Akron or anywhere in the world.
Right.
I remember like going to the Funny Stop and Pete was like, you have to bring five people. And so I got five people and I was so excited.
Shout out to Pete. R.I.P.
Pete.
R.I.P. Pete. I got five people and I was so excited. My mom, my dad, my brothers, and their girlfriends. And that was, and it went really good for a first time. You know, I mean, the first time though, they always support. Right. When they know you're, it's your first time, the MC says your first time, people support. And you get real easy laughs. And so I was like really feeling it. But I was like, I don't know how I'm going to bring five people again next week.
Right.
I didn't know that, like, you just shirk the rules after that.
Oh, okay. You know, so you were trying to, like,
and so sweat I'm like, out. I remember thinking to myself, I remember thinking that, like hearing that Dave Chappelle got, like, started in comedy when he was, like, 14 or whatever.
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that must have been because he had so many friends from high school he could bring with him to the club all the time. So he could bring people to the mics because you're young and you got all those friends. I was like, right. I don't have, you know, five more friends to bring, and they're the first ones are over this.
Right.
So I didn't do comedy again for like 5 years.
Really?
I swear to God, dude.
So
I
thought you had
to
have five
people to get on stage at Funny Stop, and I didn't know anywhere else to go. And it was like my family was like, "We did you the favor."
What the?
Like, so it's
isn't that crazy how the support is not there by the people who love you the most, supposedly? Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the first time was, how old were you when you?
I was 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So you didn't go back till 35.
Yes.
Wow.
Never did it another second time until I was 35.
So I did that. I went when I was, what, 2019?
Which is tragic, by the way. Because if I would have started comedy and then would have still been doing comedy for that long, that would be almost 10 more years under my belt of doing comedy.
You wouldn't be sitting here because I probably wouldn't know you.
I mean, hopefully.
You would have been gone already.
Hopefully not.
You would already been gone. You know what I'm saying? By the time we started.
I mean, hopefully, though. I mean, that's the idea, though. But that's like the regret. I mean, isn't it, really? The regret everybody has. It's like, if I would have just known better sooner,
I mean,
then I would be further along, or that I'd be more advanced.
Well, 40 into the game.
If I would have quit doing this when this time, I would have been better at this time, or whatever the fuck. And yeah, so it is what it is, dude. It happened when it happened.
Well, no, I think it happened because it's supposed to happen that way.
Right.
It is. Because, like Justin and I, we talked, like, yeah, we thought we would love to be in the game earlier, but now that we lived and experienced life, doesn't that make better material?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what I tell myself, right, dude. Yeah. That's what I tell myself. But it's like, yeah, dude, I mean, I don't know. Comedy is one of those things where it's like the better, I don't know. I've seen famous comics who are young who have amazing material. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, dude, I don't know, dude. It just happens when it happens. Comedy, I think, is cool like that. I don't know about getting famous necessarily, like the traditional route of getting famous, like SNL and things like that tend to want younger people, but I mean, comedy, there's people who are super young and super old. I don't know. It seems to accept people of all ages pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. It all depends on... The problem is building that fan base.
Yeah.
Trying to build that fan base. What Rodney Dangerfield got into it when he was like 42 or something.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais, like, broke, I think, later in life, too. Like, got famous later in life, too.
Well, one of the things you got in your favor, you look younger than what you are.
Yeah, I do have that in my favor. Yeah. I do have that in my favor.
He does not look 60, does he? but you look youthful. Whatever you're doing, keep up the good work. Whatever the hell you're doing.
It's not doing nothing.
You're trying. Right? Hey, you're trying.
Right.
You say you started working out.
Yeah. Oh, no, I exercise. I take care of myself.
Yeah.
But
we put in our bodies is a different story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know you don't drink alcohol or anything like
not
that.
Not anymore, I don't.
No. Attaboy. Although he sells shot glasses.
You should drink alcohol.
God damn
it. Drink alcohol. You can drink it with my brand on it.
Yeah.
You could do ginseng and turmeric shots in those glasses.
You can do ginseng and turmeric.
Speaking of which, the shot glass has what you have up here.
Right.
Yeah. So what's this? Double Chuckle Comedy Tour.
Yep. That's my brand, man.
John King and Patrick Madison. Speak on that.
Nice.
That's my tour, man. That's what I do now. I travel the United States doing comedy in the hardest, most awful places you're not supposed to do comedy.
Nice.
For the people who have the least appreciation of the art you'd ever meet. And it's a fucking good time, dude. My back is sore from driving 15 hours the other day home from Kansas.
Yeah.
I was in a place called Plainville, Kansas.
Plainville.
So it's all in the name, dude. It's Plain. It's a Plainville. And it was a Plainville.
How did that show go?
That's what I do.
How was that chair though?
That chair that Justin has, massage chair, and it's fucking fire. So
that thing's
home with me, dude.
That thing's been, that thing's heavy as fuck. The bass is heavy.
I bet, dude. The fucking knuckle you up like that, dude.
You got
the moose knuckles just grinding you out, dude.
Yeah, that thing's been worn in for 20 years, dog.
That's been beating you like a dough.
That's been beating this back up for 20 fucking years. So you're welcome.
So you do like the Double Chuckle Comedy Tour, like how is that, like how do you plan what cities to go to?
I mean, I just honestly, the way I do it is just, I'll be like, I want to be in this area or that area, and then I just like, you know, I don't know, the guy who taught me how to do it traveled all over the United States.
Okay.
But I don't like to do that because it's expensive on my gas and right. It's not necessary. Like, I did 18 shows in Ohio 2 months ago.
Nice.
And cities in Ohio I've never been to. There's like a million cities in Ohio.
Right.
And
right,
there's like
right.
a trillion bad bars in Ohio.
Have you been to Wapa, Connecticut?
Yes, I have.
See, that's a driver. That's a driver right there. Yeah. Where the fuck were you talking about?
You know, it's down by Crittersville.
What are you talking about?
Just crazy small towns in Ohio.
Shout out to y'all.
I know I've been through there, and I know the sign. I can picture it. I know that name.
The WAP.
That was like in New York, Lackawanna?
Yes.
What about Schenectady?
That's a good one.
What's the other one? Tyrone?
Where was Tyrone?
I think a place called Tyrone in New York. Shout out to Tyrone.
Shout out to Tyrone.
What's up, Tyrone?
Yeah, it's like, I'm a driver, I'm a trucker, and I've seen these cities, and it's like, I know what you're talking about. So you said you did like 18 shows.
If you, on the back of my shirt, it's like a million towns you've never heard of.
Really? Okay, go.
In Ohio.
Not just Ohio, just all over the place. Like, okay. There's like 5 major cities on there.
Nice.
But I prefer to avoid major cities. At first, when I started doing it, I was like, I want to go to major cities.
Right, right.
Because the guy who taught me how to do it, he would take me to these small fucking towns, and I hated them because I would bomb in these shitty dive bars so bad.
Okay, dude.
And I'm like, fuck these redneck hillbilly pieces of shit and all that, and their politics and everything. I disagree with every bit of these people.
Yeah.
But he'd be like, dude, the bag is good.
Right.
Because they tip and they buy merch. And okay. if you go to these yuppie places, they don't tip and they don't buy merch and they suck. And okay. they do. And really? It's true. Okay. And I, like, the first month I went to these places, but then I had some small places and I had some cities. And like the small places, the small towns that don't have comedy, and I'm doing comedy there for the first time ever, are definitely the ones that I want to go to.
Really?
Nice. I strive to book places. Like, I love Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana, like, the whole town or the whole state is like really sparsely populated.
Yeah.
Like, okay. it's just like, it's so easy to go from one dive bar to the next in Indiana. The people are really cool, super grateful that you're there, and, you know, they buy merch and they tip really well, and that's what I like.
So you've been to South Bend?
Yes. I mean, outside of South Bend, though, that's like a city. I go, like, Mishawaka.
Driver.
Dude, look at my shirt.
Let's see the back of that shirt.
Oh, shit. Hold on, people. Just stand right there.
I can't remember. Dude, I have a terrible memory about
even in Battle of Horatio.
We're going to do
this. What's
that? Battle of Horatio?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. You can see the towns that I booked. That's not my newest shirt, though. So it's missing.
Look at that.
That's missing, like, a couple months, but...
Like,
they're all towns that you've never heard of.
That's like a rock and roll tour shirt.
Damn.
That is dope.
Let's move. I'm sorry. I got it in front of you.
Man, read some of those cities, man.
You've never heard of any of them.
Like, well, Baltimore.
I got my readers.
Baltimore, Ohio,
dude. I didn't know there was a
Baltimore, Athens, Ohio.
He doesn't have his readers. That's funny. My dad. My 75-year-old dad has readers.
Fremont, Indiana.
Hey, I'm 46. I just been able to shoot 300 yards. Go ahead.
Wow.
But yeah, this is a bunch of, they're all tiny towns you've never heard of.
Bam. You're making moves, people. That's all.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's dope.
The toughest crowds you've ever done. Like, these people, like, I would say, like, 98% of the places I do comedy have never, ever seen live comedy.
Really?
So they have no fucking etiquette.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they're talking to you like, hey.
No, if they're talking, then you're fucking up. But that's the thing, is they'll let you know that you're fucking up by talking to their neighbors,
okay.
by getting up and walking away. You lose these rooms, and you lose them for good, and it's fucking horrendous. Like, when you do comedy in a comedy club, they'll forgive a joke that doesn't work.
Right, right.
They'll forgive you being nervous. They'll forgive you being new. These places are like, we're already giving you our time. and we could be like making out and getting wasted or whatever it is people do in bars.
Right.
And instead we're sitting here listening to your dumb dick jokes and you're not even doing a good job at delivering them.
Yeah.
And they'll just fucking bail on you, dude, and it's horrific.
Ooh. I mean, those are those moments, really though, because every, look.
They don't, dude, and, like, the bartenders, dude, fucking, like, throwing glass bottles. This is something John and I make jokes about. John King is my partner.
Shout out to John King. We got to get you on, baby.
My partner in crime in this thing, the real John King, my homie.
Yeah.
Dude, like, we'll be fucking, the bartenders, like, in these dive bars, like, take their beer bottles and just smash them into the trash can.
Yeah.
But they don't stop during the show. Oh. Like, we'll be up there telling jokes, and they're just... Like right on the punchline, dude. Sure. It's like, holy shit, dude.
The etiquette.
The bartender will come over and ask everybody if they want drinks, like right in front of your face and shit, dude. Like,
I can't want anything else.
Yeah, and they start talking. Full volume, though, dude. Full volume. They don't whisper. They start telling jokes.
We know about that.
Yeah. Well, mine is favorite is the frozen drink machine where you're up on stage.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Dude, Funny Stop has one of those.
I didn't say nothing. I didn't say a space, but yeah.
Dude, that's kind of like made me tough about that kind of shit, though, dude, because I'm like, oh, yeah, the daiquiri machine. That's just how that's right. What happens.
That shit is loud.
Yeah, dude. Funny Stop's daiquiri machine with bananas.
Like, and throwing the bottles in the thing, but that actually cultures you. It makes you a better comic.
Because it makes you more in the room, and that's one thing that, like, I had a problem with, like, in hosting, that's where you gotta be. But when I'm up there doing my set, it's kind of like robotic. I'm trying to just do my shit, but I'm able to go off people. That's the beautiful thing. But it's trying to be able to get back to new material and be in the room that really, and that shit, that those types of things make you go off script,
right.
And then trying to get back to where you're at and be fluid, you know what I mean? That's the talent,
yeah,
and that's what you learn in those types of environments, right. You know.
Yes, they'll make you way better at comedy for sure, or they'll make you quit comedy. So, but like one way or another, like,
I mean, if you quit, you ain't in it,
right?
You know what I mean? Because you enjoy going out there and trying.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you know, it's like I saw you, and it's like you are definitely a performer on stage. You can listen to your material, and it's also fun to watch. Like, what were some of your influences in comedy? Like, who were you watching? And like, give me a top five. It doesn't have to be famous. It could be locally or famous. Like, who did you watch? Who were some of your influences?
I mean, I've been asked this before, and they're the typical guys. Like, Dave Chappelle had, like, a really profound effect on me. Right. I watched his specials a lot, and I like Louis C.K. a lot, and I was raised watching, like, Seinfeld on TV. My mom's a tremendous, tremendous Seinfeld fan.
Okay. I used to watch the show all the time.
My mom, like, sits in front of the TV and laughs out loud to herself, like, smoking a joint to herself or whatever.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah.
Seinfeld was hilarious.
Laughing out loud. Like,
but his comedies.
My friends would be like, who's in the room with your mom? Like, who's she? Yeah. No, that's my mom by herself on the TV, just, like, barking, laughing her ass off, dude. And I'm like, man, I love it. I like always like making people laugh like that, dude. Right. And I liked how good Jerry Seinfeld made my mom feel. And it's like, you want to be like that, dude. You want to make people feel that good.
Exactly. You got two more.
And so, I don't know. And then Jim Jeffries. I really like Jim
Jeffries. Okay, Jim Jeffries.
Yeah, that guy was fucking, I don't know. I really, really, really dug his stand-up. Even though I can never be like as dark as he is.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible coming out of my mouth. It sounds like almost like I'm being serious when I try to do dark.
Well, doesn't he have an accent?
Yeah, he's Australian.
Yeah. So, you know, everything sounds better.
Did I say Louis C.K.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle, Louis C.K.
I like him twice.
Really likes him.
Jeff Jeffries.
And then John King.
John King,
man, dude. He taught me so much about the comedy game, dude. He taught me so much.
That's
dope.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody. So you've been in how long?
I've been doing comedy for like 7 years, between 6 and 7 years.
So I met you. You were probably 3 years in the game then, because December will be four.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And there was like a pandemic in the middle of that, and then it's like, you know, there's like levels to being in comedy. I always have a hard time answering that question because it's like, that's not 7 years since the first time I ever tried comedy.
Right, right.
But it was like, I kicked it around a few times, and then it was like, I would say like for 6 or 7 years I've been like going to open mics or trying, but then really just like the last 4 or 5 years that I've been like
doing
it. Really, really trying, and then only a couple years that I even have been getting paid doing it, so it's like...
But there's levels, so...
But yeah,
so, dude. I mean, because in 2019, I went on stage in July. I didn't go back till December of 2020.
Right, and so is it, like, fair to say that you've been doing it all those years?
No, so I started at 2020, and December is where I go with, and so... Because that was just a one-off, and that was, like, the one time I did it, and then, like I said, I went back, and I couldn't get back as my job. They just went... And I'm like, you know what?
I don't need the paycheck that bad, damn it. I got dreams.
Right? You know, you never know. Look, I've always been that one person because listening to podcasts, I've always heard it takes 10 years. It takes 10 years.
Well, they say it's like 10 years to be a headliner.
Yes.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
But see, I didn't know that's what it meant. I'm like, what the fuck? I ain't got 10 years. But what else would I be doing with 10 years? Dude.
Like, I mean, that's how it feels, though, because that's where that feeling of, like, oh, if I'd have started this sooner, I'd be further.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. But I mean, I know people who headline comedy clubs who've been doing comedy, like, 5 or 6 years.
Dude. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know.
Like,
I
mean, people get famous way faster than that, dude. And then once you get, like, Instagram famous, you headline wherever the fuck.
Oh,
you can sell tickets anyway, dude. So that shit's all just...
Yeah.
So it to me it's like.
But I don't need to be famous.
No.
How many people come and do shows and I don't know who the fuck they are, but they're doing shows.
Funny, dude. Exactly. And they're selling tickets and they're selling merch afterwards and they're making it, dude.
That's all.
Tell me how you feel about this, Patrick, because you know, yeah, you need to have a good presence on stage and things like this, and in our world that we're in, I think it's etiquette to it. Your antics on stage. Has to, you know, you can't be a jerk off stage.
I mean, hopefully you're not, dude, because comedy, dude, is so much about business, dude, and so much about networking, dude. You can't, like, continue in comedy if you aren't, like, getting along or aren't, like, good with people or good at business, because eventually you're going to want to make money or you're going to starve to death, and hopefully you're going to be good at, like, you know, being good with the people around you.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get, like, a little bit of success, dude, and they start... You know, acting like they're, I don't know, brand new or whatever, and they're treating people shitty around them, dude. But you got to be careful with shit like that, dude.
Yeah.
Because you go up to, you know, those same people that you stepped on your way up, dude, you're going to pass them right back
on your way down.
Absolutely. Be so fickle. Yeah. Plus, dude, you never know who's going to be good either. You never know who's going to get good at comedy. And, you know, you might be fucking around with somebody and you might not give them the time of day because you're like, oh, that guy sucks or whatever, dude. But they might be the next big thing, dude. So you should always be good at everybody.
Yeah. Meet. Yeah. This guy right here, man. Cordell's and I agree because when we first started going, there was nobody that was kind to us, you know, right off rip. You know what I mean? They weren't. Well, there was a couple, but either way, you know what I mean? There was no outgoing people reaching out and saying, "Hey." And I'll tell you what, Cordell is the number one person that I've seen who's any new comic that we see at the Funny Stop or even you know, all these other places we go to, the Funny Farm, and, you know, hey, how are you? What's your name? This and that. How long have you been doing it? You know what I mean?
Right.
He genuinely asks these questions and cares, and you know, people take that, you know, a long way. You know, we've only been in it 4 years, not even. You know what I mean? So we're still young in the game. So it's good when people who've been doing it, you know what I mean, say anything about something. You know what I mean?
Yes. Dude, I think I felt that same way when I started comedy too, though, dude. And I think that a large part of that is that the people around you who you think are ignoring you, I think they're nervous and they don't know how to behave. Comedians are like
different personalities,
you know, like have social issues and anxiety issues, and they're worried about how they look on stage, and they're already so worried about being perceived and so in their own heads,
right?
Like
Daniel Myers.
Yeah, dude, Daniel Myers is just a quiet, shy dude, man.
Shout out to Daniel Myers.
He's a quiet, shy dude.
Shout out to Daniel Myers.
Quiet and shy can be off-putting when you feel like you don't know anybody and this guy doesn't want to talk to me, but he's just worried about himself.
Yeah,
Jason Malterno is who I thought of, too. I used to give Jason Malterno was one of the first people I kind of like... I looked up to him when I first started. He was judging a Funny Stop comedy contest. Okay. Just a Wednesday fucking night.
Yeah.
Pete was like, hey, give me 5 winners or whatever.
Right.
And I wasn't one of them, dude. And I was fucking bent about it, dude. I was bent, dude. And I was like, why didn't I advance, Jason? Which you should never let people know who's judging it for that exact reason. And Jason's like, oh, I didn't like the way you moved the mic stand. And I was like, what? And it's like,
that's hilarious.
It's such a fucking, but didn't even reason. To be honest with you though, I didn't know, I didn't have the stage presence enough, this is how brand new I was, to know to move the mic stand out of my fucking way. And so seeing the mic stand standing there, I would be like, oh, if I, now when I see that, I'm like, oh, that guy's too new to know to even move the mic out of his way. It's something you learn pretty early on, but it's something, I didn't, like, some people watch podcasts or listen to podcasts and, like, get educated first.
Shout out to Joe Byers.
I fucking just, like, threw myself into it.
Okay.
So I didn't know any of that kind of stuff, dude. Right. So, yeah.
Was you running lights?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. I was fucking drunk, dude. Woo! So I was fucking up, dude, when I first started, dude.
Wow, yeah, yeah, running the lights.
The first couple sets that I did, dude, were, like, embarrassing to think about. Dude. I blush to think about. Hey, but I would run the lights, dude. I would swear on accident too much. I would you know, like, not have, like, good prepared material and stuff like that, dude. Because, like, I was, you know, so in my head about my anxiety about even doing it in the first place. And, like, just, I don't know, dude. Procrastination and just not wanting to work and trying to be like the I don't know.
But those are still teaching moments, and you jumped into it that way and you learned, and that helps your improvisation.
Yeah. It makes me patient with people who fuck up now. I'll tell you that, dude.
Well, I mean, you know what?
When I see new people doing that stuff, I try to tell them, like, pull them aside. I pulled this one guy aside one time, funny side, and been like, dude, I know. You're probably gonna wake up tomorrow and you're gonna cringe.
Yeah.
You know, you might not realize this right now, but you are. But it's okay. Walk it off. I mean, just come back again next week, and as long as you keep going, dude, you didn't really. These people don't even really give a fuck. Yeah. Like, they gave a fuck in that moment, and then once you got off the stage and you think you're gonna feel like an idiot, but dude, they're so. Dude, especially like Funny Stop on Wednesday night, amateur night.
Yeah.
People are so in their own head about their set. That's why they don't laugh, because they're so nervous and worried about what they're going to do.
Yep.
People aren't worried about that shit, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, to be honest with you, like, when I first started at the Funny Stop and I advanced, I was going to go back up in 2 weeks for 5 minutes. I felt like those 5 minutes and 2 weeks held me hostage.
Dude, you're fucking worried to death probably.
For 5 minutes, what am I going to do?
Is he going to do the same stuff? See, that was the thing. Were you worried about doing the same material? Same material?
Like,
I brought props. I had...
Did you really?
I had teeth.
You did bring your teeth. That is right.
What teeth? What?
He has some fake-ass teeth he put in a song or some shit.
I still like my teeth. But
I mean, yeah, they're funny for like TikTok videos. You were trying to
really put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teeth. I mean,
like, you're going to come up with this brand new, amazing 5 minutes. Yeah, two right. Weeks,
each
like,
time.
Yep.
And I went out. And one of the things that, like, another thing, like, from the Funny Stop, like, I come up with a routine and I know I had 5 minutes. So I'm used to doing things, all my jokes, like,
And then
when I start doing a show and I had more time, I did the same thing, and the headliner was like, yo, you did good.
Right.
Your jokes were funny. Slow down.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
dude,
a big thing.
Learning how to pace yourself, though. Like, dude, I get anxiety and I get, like, nervous. And if, like, I don't get a laugh, then I would, like, rush to the next joke to try to get to that next laugh and see if I'll get a laugh here. And, I mean, dude, it took me years, honestly, to slow down.
Slow down.
Oh, no, I still care.
So, can you
have to know everybody's not going to get that joke, and you can't rush to the next one.
It was just relatively recently, I would say, that I could, to the point where I'd be like, I'm okay with this not, like, was it okay with a joke not getting a laugh?
How's your joke process? Like, do you, because I make up a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Are all your jokes like things that happen in real life?
Yeah, mostly they are. Which is a terrible way to write jokes. Because then you're waiting for something funny to happen.
Right,
then you're not advancing through your book.
Yeah.
So, like, I've tried to more recently be, like, more imaginative or, like, use, like, I don't know, other things to inspire or spur me to write a joke. Yeah,
this is good content right here.
Because, like, if you wait for something funny to happen in your life, dude, I felt like one time a year or two without having, like, new material.
Wow. Okay.
Because, like, I was like, I'm still doing the same shit that I wrote. I wrote, like, my best 8 minutes in, like, one night. Cheese and Chong's. Well, it was after Cheese. It was, like, during the pandemic, though, there was, like, six comics there. And I was like fire, dude. It was like when I started like getting, I kind of had like gone through some shit, and I'm like, I started getting much better on stage.
Okay.
And it like I kind of like shifted gears, dude, and I wrote so much good shit that I like fleshed out over 2 years and made into like really good stuff. But like I like remember looking back on this and be like, this is so fucking old, and almost all of this was ideas I had in one writing session,
right.
And I have not put anything fucking new down since. And that's brutal. And
yeah, I know.
But I mean, it's just important to recognize that kind of shit, dude, and not let yourself get like swamped and like get upset about it too much.
Yeah.
To be like, oh fuck, I could have been doing so much more if I would have stopped and wrote one day a week. Yeah. I would have like 90 times material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I would stop and write once a month.
I even heard like the shout out to Joe Byers and Yoshi. Like Yoshi was saying, like just write 1 minute a day.
That's what I'm saying.
Like anything, because just a minute. Get something out of your head.
Anything at all. Yeah. Most days you don't write any fucking
anything. Anything. But you think about a lot of shit, but you never just spit it out on the paper. I've had like 5 minute rants on the way to work. Sometimes I'll have to pull out my voice thing and record it. And it's just like, some of that's okay, but you know what I mean? You have to shuffle it out and shuffle through it. But.
Listen, if you sat down with a pen and paper and just played it back to yourself, you'd probably be able to like pull a joke out of it.
Yeah, you gotta write. I mean, to me, I gotta put pen to paper.
Because
then I see it, visualize it, plus you memorize it a lot better.
Well, that helps you like do a whole complete joke too.
Yes, because it's structured. You know what I mean?
So one of the things that I noticed about your comedy is like, you're pretty animated. Like you get into it. Like you act out your comedy a lot sometimes. Like at what point did you develop like that was necessary? Do you watch your performances or is it just a natural thing for you or?
It's just kind of how I've always been.
Okay.
So it's just like that was just like a trait that I already had before comedy, where I like talk with my hands and stuff like that. I would say, you know, I don't know if I, it's just something that I always did, like talking with my hands or trying to be animated, and I try to like exaggerate it and understand that I'm on the stage and that you have to exaggerate.
Now you're a performer like now.
No. In all fairness, everybody, like, you know, Patrick's talking right now, but when he's on stage, he's like, you know, he's like. I told him, I don't know if he.
That was pretty good, though. I know exactly what he's doing. That's funny. I kind of do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I told him this, and it wasn't an insult at all, but I said, you remind me of Don Knotts, like Mr. Furley, like not the way he looks, but his cadence, the way he speaks, and everything is like. This dude is hilarious on stage, man. It's like, he's anime. He's putting on a show, and it's like, you know, maybe I'm a slow learner, but I'm like, man, you have to perform on stage or you're going to lose the interest of the crowd. And
right.
He gets it. And I was just, you know, just trying to ask, like, was there a point where you said, okay, I got to do this, or is that just natural? Or like,
dude, I'll tell you, like, I mean... People would say to me, like, you could make anything funny just by the way that you tell it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I remember somebody saying that to me specifically one night after a particularly good guest spot I did at Funny Stop.
Okay.
Where I'm, like, starting to do guest spots at Funny Stop now on paid shows, and I'm starting to cook. Like, I'm up there, and I'm having, like, 3 or 4 minutes where I'm, like, actually making this audience laugh.
Right.
And it's, like, giving me confidence now to be like, okay, this is better than being able to do an open mic. Now these people bought tickets, even though it's easier. When they bought tickets, but in my head, like, it was very validating.
Yes.
And this one night, somebody was like, oh man, you can say anything you say can be funny because of the way you say it. And it like resonated with me. And, you know, and honestly, dude, sometimes I feel like even if the joke is not as good as it could be, or it could be like punched up or written better, I'm like, if I sell this fucking thing,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's get into
like,
that.
Sometimes I'm like, I'll just fucking give it that. And then by my confidence of, the way it's coming off of me, that these people are going to laugh and smile just because, because of the, you know, the way I'm selling it to them.
Let's get into that, because you're not an actor. You say you're not an actor, but you're a character as fuck.
Okay.
Like think about it in a movie.
I feel what you're saying.
You're definitely a fucking character in a goddamn movie.
No, right? No.
I feel what you're saying.
To piggyback off of Justin,
but
I do impressions, and I can imitate people
very well.
And if I can imitate you, that means that you're a fucking character. Period.
like, not be that dude.
No, if I, I'd be like, who am I? You know, like, who am I right now? Like, you know, like, and they'd be like, Patrick Madison. I'm like, that says something about you, though.
Right? Yeah, dude. I mean, I take that as a positive. I appreciate that.
No, that is a positive.
I mean, yeah. So with your comedy, you got to think a little bit. I mean, you say you're not into it. I was the same way. I just want to make people laugh. I just want to go on stage and make people laugh. And then I got offered a movie role. Shout out to me. Oh,
shout out to Javon Banks.
I would love to do. Is that you with the beard?
Right there.
Right on the fucking cover. On the
poster in this,
man.
Bitch.
That's fire, bro. Right. How did you even get that?
I was doing a show. Shout out to Javon Bates.
Shout out to Javon Bates.
He was doing a comedy. He was promoting a comedy show. He had Big Rich. He had Britton, me, and Chad. So all these... The trifecta in this piece.
And
so
amazing,
he was like, "You ever think about acting?" I was like, "Nope." He's like, "I got a great role for you."
He's like, "I just want to do my comedy." You know? I was like, all right.
And he sent me the script. I came and we did the scenes. And yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat, bro.
There you go.
If somebody offered me an opportunity to act in anything, I would take it immediately.
Bam.
I would do that for free. I shouldn't say that.
Don't say that online, because I got paid.
I
got paid. Shout out to Javon. He pays, but you know,
fire.
Hey, you know what?
Holler at me next time.
Yeah, like, you know, don't be surprised when you get the call, man.
For real, dude. I'd be amazing, dude.
I'm just, because I always look at it like this. In Cleveland, there's a lot of things going on, and all I can think about is Clerks.
Yeah.
You seen the first Clerks?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Black and white, limited scenes,
yes.
Character conversations.
Super low budget.
Low budget. It's just, me and him were always in talks and conversations, so we're always thinking about what can we produce with the people we know in the comedy game.
There's
in
so
Cleveland,
many.
Ohio. So many characters.
Oh my God.
Timbuktu.
Yeah.
You. You know, just so many characters.
There is
a
lot of talent. Northeastern Ohio, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of talent. So many funny people, dude.
So many people.
Really, really funny people in Cleveland.
Yeah. So that was the one thing I always thought about. Like, but let's get back to your tour. And so you said you're the creator.
Yes.
How do you put something like that together?
So it's just, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And that's really the secret to it. Like, you just, you know, find out where you want to go, and then you start calling bars
now,
in that area.
To set up, I'm sorry. But, like, so you said you're just coming from Kansas. How do you promote something in Kansas?
Oh, I don't promote any of it.
Okay.
I mean, I put stuff on social media, but, like, it's that's... You know, I can bring everything but the audience.
Okay.
So there has to be a line, and that's the audience or the places that we do the shows have to be the ones responsible for promoting locally.
Okay.
And that's really common with any like brewery tour or bar comedy, or anything like that. These places all rely on the venue.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them are slick, dude. Like, you have go to a brewery, be like, "Hey, you guys want to do a comedy show?" And they'll be like, "Yeah," and be like, charge them like a small production fee to do it, and then give them a link to a ticket sales website where you get all the money from the tickets, and they tell all their customers to buy tickets there.
Okay.
And they, you know, this is a good chance for the brewery though to bring a bunch of extra people in to sell them alcohol and maybe if they have food or whatever.
Right.
But you take 100% of the ticket sales.
Okay.
And then you cover the cost of the comedians. Comedians bring the sound and lighting with them.
Right.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of ways to put on comedy shows.
And merch.
Yeah, merch is what really does it for me.
Right.
Like, I'm a fucking merch whore, dude. I've been in sales my whole life, dude. So I'll be like fucking, people will be like, "Do you got a 2XL? And I'll be like, "Oh, man, you can wear this as a halter top. You can go for that sexy vibe." Like,
right.
Because I won't have like the bigger sizes a lot of times. If I ever get them, I only got a few of them. They sell so fast.
Yeah.
But they cost extra.
Right.
And it's just a pain in the ass. So, yeah, dude. I mean, like, you know, I got the shot glasses.
Yeah.
I got the shirts.
I like the shot glasses.
Also the tip jar, dude.
Right.
Tip jar.
Dude. Tip jar is a big thing. You know what I mean? That's...
Because, dude, it's business, dude. I'm out here doing 5 shows a week most of the time.
Nice.
And it's like, I have to make something. I have to be able to pay for my Camry. I have to be able to pay my car insurance. I have to be able to pay my bills with it, dude. If I can't pay my bills with doing 5 shows a week, then I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? You can't keep something like that going if it's not going to pay your bills.
Yeah, well, that's,
and a shot to you. That's your only income?
No, it's not my
income. Okay, okay.
But, I mean, it's
he's
it's
the plug.
Moved to primary
income,
so.
He's the plug.
Well, I'm just, hey, shout out to you for able to do five shows a week plus do your regular shit. You know, yeah. That's a lot of fucking work. You know what I mean? Yeah. That means you're moving it, you know. And so appreciate you giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we booked this dude a year in advance.
He's out here making moves, people.
I'm trying, dude. I try to stay busy, man.
Patrick Evan Madison.
So how'd you and John King get involved in all this?
Dude, I met John King. I saw him a couple times at Funny Stop, dude. I thought this dude was amazing, man. The first time I saw him, I thought he must have stolen the material. I'm so fucking egotistical. I did. I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's doing these amazing jokes. And in my head, I was like, there's nobody in Cleveland and Akron. I thought there was nobody in Cleveland and Akron who did comedy that I didn't know him.
Right.
Because they must have been at the open mics. If there was anybody, I would have seen them at the, like, there wasn't this whole group of people who, like, headliners who don't come to, like, local crappy shows.
Yeah.
And John, dude, is, like, a 40-year vet, dude. John's right. A super experienced comedian, super-duper funny guy, nicest guy ever.
His picture's on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, at the Funny Side.
Oh, right? Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I met him at Barmcy.
Okay.
And, you know, we were hanging out.
Been there a couple times, yep.
And, he loves to talk, and he loves to give people advice, and he's the most helpful person ever. If you ever have, like, a question about comedy, he will walk you through whatever you need to know.
Nice.
And so I was just chopping it up with him, dude, and he's just giving me all this inside information and all this, like, you know, just way of looking at the world, and just a mentor, dude. He's been a mentor to me for years, dude, and we just became fast friends. And then, you know, we hung out, and he would bring me on to shows, and then once in a while I brought him on the show. But then when I learned about the tour and stuff I'm like, I need somebody who can handle these bars. I need somebody who can handle the road.
Right.
And him and I had talked about going on the road together years ago.
Nice.
I thought he would be the one to bring me on the road, though. He's the fucking headliner. He's the one with all experience. He was supposed to bring my ass on the road.
Well, you're the planner.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a labor.
That's why I tell these bookers, dude, I'm like, I'm the hustle, he's the muscle.
Yeah.
I do all the work, and then he comes up and gets all the fucking glory, dude. I do all the work, and then he comes and closes the show and gets all the fucking glory, dude.
Shout out to John King.
He actually
blessed my room.
Yeah, dude, he's so cool, dude. He helps out anybody he can in any way he can. He's very gracious, very generous person.
Yeah. Let me just iterate that. Like, he is, and he's a professional. When I was running my room, I asked John King to do it. The show's time was at 7 o'clock, or was it 8? I think it was 7.
Shit, I think it was 7.
7.
Yeah,
and I said, let me get there at 6. John King's ass was there at like 6:20.
Really? Nice.
I was like, I'm so glad I'm here before John King. I'm so glad I'm here.
No shit.
John King was there, and I greeted him. And it went well, but it was just like, you know, I'm one of those people that's conscious of stuff like that, because I would hate for, you know, to have a show and my act show up before I do.
Oh yeah, plenty of time, kidding me?
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, I'm so glad I was here before John King. Right. He was there at 6:30.
How many shows we've been to? Yeah. Am I the only one here?
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on?
People are going to treat your shit as serious as you do. Yeah, so if you're showing up to your shows late, or you're not starting on the time you said you were going to start,
right?
I don't care how much fun you're having partying or whatever. The people, that whole thing is going to carry over. So the comics aren't going to treat it seriously. The audience is going to treat you seriously. They're not going to come back. Dude.
That's one thing. It's starting to show on time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one so of the, important, dude. Yeah.
That's one of the things that I wanted, you know, like, you know, change the narrative of how Cleveland does their shows. I started on time no matter what.
Yep.
I
had to fill in sometimes when people didn't show up.
People didn't show up,
dude,
on time.
Comics are so flaky.
Because they're used to a certain way.
Comics don't want to work. Most comics are like, I do comedy so I don't have to work, goddammit. I don't have to worry about like being there on time or doing this and that, and I was trying to get high or I was...
It's because they're used to a certain way.
I get there on time and smoke, so I'm prepared. You got to be there and smoke to enjoy it, to get the pregame going. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? With the buzz.
So it was like, okay, so you're doing these cities, and, you know, like, this is how I see it. Like, you know, it takes, like, a certain, we all have to be certain, like sort of like, is egotistical is the right word?
I don't like comics. That word. Confident.
Well, but think about what we do for a living. We want people to come see us, come listen to us, get you a babysitter, and pay to come see us. Because we got something to say.
Because we think we're funny.
I get it. Listen to us. That's a different thing, though, dude. But I mean, you're it's like you help these people forget about their shitty day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, go with their worries and stuff. Like,
yeah.
But I get it.
I'm not, like, trying to teach anybody anything, dude. Like, right. I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to persuade people. I don't want them to vote. I don't want them to do no call to action. Yes. Just put down your worries and fucking just laugh and chill out. Laugh. Yeah. That's what I want, dude.
Yeah. And that's some cool stuff. So, you know, like.
And I want them to buy shirts. Yeah, I do want them to buy shirts. I do want them to buy shirts. I mean, if
you might as well buy them
for beer. You gotta get the fucking souvenir, bro.
Yeah, you might as well tell. I remember him.
I do want them to buy shirts. I can borrow it on the shirt.
I mean,
too.
Come on. Shot glasses, y'all. You want some shot glasses?
Like $5, y'all.
Come on. What the hell?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean,
support.
Right?
No, but we all want that.
Though. Right.
Yeah. So that's a lot to demand from people. Like,
it is a lot to ask out of people. That's why you got to be there on time. Yeah, on time. Be fucking funny, dude. Yeah. Funny. That's a lot. They got to get babysitters.
Yes.
They got to move their lives around.
Right.
Yeah. They got to drive drunk home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
DUI.
They got to do a lot of shit to see your ass, dude. So you better give it to them, dude.
100%. See, everyone forgets about that part, right?
Yeah, you forget until it's too late.
We're in the people business.
Yes, dude. Yes, it is a business, though, dude.
But well, then they leave the show and not talk to you.
Right.
What kind of shit is that?
Do you talk to your audience after the show?
Oh, God, yeah, dude. I try to get selfies with them, dude. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to sell them shirts, dude. Yeah. I take shirts and I go up to every fucking table. I wait by the merch table and people come past me on their way out. And then once that settles, I take a shirt and some shot glasses and I go up to every table and thank them and offer them merch.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything, dude. I don't miss a dollar if I can help it, dude.
Yeah.
No,
that's how you got to do it. Yeah, dude. I mean, cause you're working for tips and shit out there, and making that, selling that merch, and you have a good shirt. It ain't like it's not bad. It's a nice design,
dude. Yeah.
So at least you're giving a good product. Trust me, we've seen some shirts.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We
paid the extra 15 cents for the softer cotton.
There you go. Yeah. God damn. Hey, that makes a difference, man.
It does make a difference.
I don't want no starched up goddamn shirt. It's all fucking tight and boxed up. Yeah.
Hold on. We and I keep saying it. It was this one. She's a big time comic.
Big time. We'll tell you off air. Big time comic.
She looked like she bought the six pack of Fruit of the Looms or Hanes.
Yep.
And for her logo or whatever she wanted to say, it was a strip of tape. A
strip of tape with the name, with the saying on it. So you really can straight up.
And she charged
$25. $25. Strip the tape off, you got a white tee for $25.
Are you serious?
100%.
That's wild.
Oh, I can't wait to tell you.
I mean, is that part of the design, though? Was that part of it that it was
no, like. No. It was just something she said. It was like a saying of hers. And it was on the shirt. And you could rip it right.
Why
the fuck
would
off.
Just write it on the shirt?
Why would
just
you
take
press
that
it?
Step and this, just write it on
that.
The shirt.
That's like, even better.
And this is a popular comic.
Very popular comic.
She's been with the likes of Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That famous?
Yes.
That
blew
popular?
My mind when I said, after our shirts. After our merch, and this is like a
dude. You're always have like though. Every time I see you, you have a different Midnight Taco podcast shirt. Dude. You have crazy good swag.
I mean, it was like,
hey, if you're gonna rock something, you gotta rock.
Right,
it,
you got like a fashion thing.
I'm on a walking advertisement.
Don't you have real dog tags like that?
No.
Like the ones? Okay. No. I saw you wearing dog tags.
You did.
I have
a tag. You have his. Because he's an official soldier.
Yes. Yeah, officially, he's a soldier.
He's a soldier.
Yeah, so that's where the design came from. Yeah. You know, the idea of it. And with two people, why not put a face
this
on
is
each?
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
How much does this cost for them?
$1 million.
It's on Redbubble. You can actually order this, people, if you want a blanket.
Yeah, if you want a blanket. Look, we got blankets, shower caps.
Oh, you got merch? Like that?
We got shower caps. Dude.
Shower caps,
we got,
mats,
we got,
coasters,
coasters,
backpacks,
bags,
for the kids
dresses,
if you want one,
clocks, onesies.
You go to Redbubble or Amazon.
So if your baby's crying, what they really want is a Midnight Paco
onesie.
That's
onesie.
What they want.
There's onesies out there, people.
Did I say shower curtains? We got pillows, backpacks, duffel bags. We got them all.
So now that you got your shit, you just need to post it up on the website. That's the other side of it too. I mean, because think about it like this: somebody may go online after they see your show and be like, oh, I wanted a shirt, but I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And if you have it just uploaded on Amazon or on, right, on Redbubble.
Yeah, damn, that would be...
You know what I mean? Like just that. Upload it, put a design up on some shit. Right. That's for everybody, you know, that's out there. If you just want to put some stuff out there.
So I heard you mention earlier, like you said, you don't want to influence anybody on no politics and things like that. So like, you know, in addition to John King, like who would you like compare your comedy to? Like who is like a fantasy person that you would love to like go on tour with?
Oh, I don't know, man. There's so many amazing comics like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just unpolitical.
Like, who famous would I want to go on tour with? Probably anybody more famous than me would be amazing to go on tour with, honestly.
But who do you... I mean, other than, like, your...
Chappelle.
Yeah, other than the favorites, you know, there's, like... that's a hard question.
But who do you vibe with? But Chappelle right now is kind of political.
Yeah, no, I'm not... I don't mind that. I'm just saying my comedy, my brand, I don't... I'm not, like, out there trying to, like, move anybody, like, all that. Like, I'm trying to get people to laugh and, like, be PSAs. Goofy. And yeah, there's no PSA. There's no message in my shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to educate you or, you know, I'm just trying to make people laugh and just have a good time.
So you just want to be part of a show. Like, if you had, a one dope lineup of you and a couple other, like, celebrities, what would it be?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Say you were.
I mean, I listed my five people or whatever.
Louis C.K., Dave Chappelle.
I mean, dude, it would be fire to work with probably any comics, honestly. I have never met a comic that I didn't like.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I really haven't, dude. And I think that anybody who's like famous or on the level has probably worked really hard. I'll tell you, an up and coming or somebody who's becoming famous, more famous lately, I guess you would say that I really like is Jordan Jensen. I think she would be awesome to work with.
Jordan Jensen.
Some of the Cleveland cats have got to work with her. So you don't know who she is yet, but she probably will soon, dude.
But
she's
super
fucking funny.
But that's what I like. I love how many people know about I Am Chad.
Know about I Am Chad, but he's a local guy.
That's what I'm saying.
She's not local. She's a New York
guy. But that's what
I think she's so fucking funny. I watch her reels all the time, dude. She makes me laugh so hard.
I love the fact that, like, you said the name and I don't know. You know what I mean? Because she's still fucking funny and doing it.
Shout out to her.
She is hot, though.
But I like the fact that people don't know and she's still fucking out there doing it.
Other people know. She headlined Hilarities recently.
That's what I mean. Okay, yeah. That's what I mean. It's like I don't know her, but she's fucking doing her thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I could be. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
That's what I'm trying to work towards. You know
what I mean? Absolutely could be that, dude. Is that one person? Cutting the reels and clips and all that shit, dude. To keep grinding, you will get to a level of success.
Right.
You won't be Dave Chappelle, probably, just statistically and realistically.
Yeah, first of all.
But I think you will be like a headliner who like makes a good living from comedy.
Hell, I'm trying to get to
we gotta get people like...
Oh, you just have to keep working. That's all, dude.
Patrick Madison on your show. And that's the way you do it. You get Patrick Madison on here.
That's what
it's just too kind, though, dude. But I mean, for real, dude, working and making your podcast and cutting reels and just all that shit, dude, it's just going to keep going. Look at where you're at. Over 4 years, dude. I know you guys must have seen yourself.
Oh.
You got podcasts all over the world.
Yeah,
dude.
Yes.
That's the evolution of
that's what we're talking about. When you just put stuff out there, you don't know who's going to listen.
Right? No. But people will. That's amazing shit, dude.
So shout out to everybody out in the world listening to everything. You know, we do appreciate all our listeners for sure. You know, because we're out here, we've been bringing a lot, especially this year, a lot of Cleveland comedy. I mean, we've had guests, but this year it's been like one after another. Bangers.
I've seen your clips all the time on Instagram and shit. I always like their clips.
They're trying to feed it out there, you know. So we're trying to give the platform and to get a voice for all the Cleveland comedy out there. Because, like I said, man, the talent we have, there's a lot of movies to be made, a lot of skits that can be produced. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things out there that we can do together. But that's the thing.
Somebody just support has to one take another. Fucking control. That's what it is, dude. Yeah. Somebody has to take the initiative and be the one to fucking do it.
Right.
And take the lead.
Yeah. We got ideas. In addition to taking the lead,
you it's nothing wrong with supporting one another.
Of course not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm liking reposting shit all the time.
Right.
I'm getting messages like, "Are you in this show?" No. I'm not.
You're right.
I'm just
No, reposting and liking people's stuff. I like everybody's stuff. Yeah. I at least like it. And I try to comment as much as I can. And that's it means a ton, dude. Especially when you only have a few likes.
Yeah.
Every one of them counts, dude.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know how many times I'm first comment. I'm first comment on a lot of shit.
It's good that you do.
You already see Get'em and fucking high fives on.
Hell yeah, dude. I'll Get'em or a high five. Just a quick thing, dude. It's just such a small gesture. People get so picky about whether they like something or don't like something. It's like, dude, just fucking support the dumb shit.
How about
dude.
Today? I posted some, you know, Obama fucking started rapping fucking Eminem shit.
Was that an AI thing or something?
No, it was at one of the rallies, and he went up there, it's like, because it was...
Arms are sweaty.
Yeah.
Obama was really dropping...
Yeah, he was dropping lines. So cool, dude. So I posted it, and I, you know... I love my aunt, but she was like, I couldn't like it.
Because she's like a Trump.
It wasn't even a political fucking thing. It was all about he's dropping Eminem fucking bars.
Right. At least she had no reason not to give it a thumbs up.
I get it, but still, come on. She's like, no disrespect to you. I love her to death. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, come on, man. You know, it wasn't political. Come on, he was dropping bars. That shit was dope.
But he's a politician. It is dope, dude. Obama is the shit, dude. He's fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, he could have told me the world was going to end, and I'd be like, whatevs.
All right.
He's
so smooth about it, dude.
you're a touring comedy. Can I ask you a slightly personal question?
Yes.
How does that work with being in a relationship?
Well, I'm not in love, so that's how that works. She left a year and a half ago. So, or was it a year and a half ago? At least a year ago. So that's how that worked. We were together for 24 years, and now we're not. So
ouch.
Hope that answers your question.
That feels close to home. I'm not gonna lie.
Find yourself a new home.
Well.
So, all right. So, if you don't mind, because this is important, because a lot of people that's getting into this business, they need to know this.
Like, yeah.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you?
I don't know. I'm selfish, I guess. You know, I spend all the time with my comedy buddies and my comedy dreams and trying to make my comedy dreams grow bigger and healthier and not like working on the relationship. And I feel like there's things I could have done to maybe stop it. But dude, honestly, we were together for a long time and we went through a lot of changes and we're still really good friends and we still talk a lot and we're still in each other's lives. So it's not, I don't even look at it as a negative thing.
Does she like your posts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she bought me this shirt, dude.
Okay. Nice. All right.
Busy, baby. Booked and busy. That's me. There sexy blonde.
Fucking right, he is. Booked and busy. Support's a big thing, man. Yeah, and it's upsetting when sometimes you don't get it from the people that you think you're going to get it from.
Yeah, dude. Because people will get, you know, when you start loving, you know, in a relationship with somebody and you guys are loving each other and everything is together, and then you start loving this other thing, dude. Mm-hmm. And. You know, obviously, I am married to the game now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For real, I am, dude. But I'm married to comedy, dude. I'm married to the comedy game, and it's always the number one priority.
And the worst thing is in my mind, it was, I do this, and we don't have to worry about nothing. You travel. You know what I mean? You're going to different cities. You're making the money. You know, that's almost like a lifestyle in its own, and that's what I was looking towards. But there's a grind before you get to that.
Yeah.
There's a grind before that money's there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not as glamorous as you think about
it. I'm still waiting for that shit to happen.
100%. We all are, for sure. Yeah. Trust me.
Dude, I was gone for 3.5 months this year, dude, and came home, like, with less money than I left with. So, yeah. I mean, and that was, you know.
Yeah, grinding. But you're doing it. You're getting yourself out there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's the crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
And it's safe to say.
But it's a good lesson for everyone out there learning that it doesn't just happen. Some people do. Some people get breaks. Trust me, we see it. You know, there's people that go from here and here, and you're like, wow. But shout out to everybody doing it. There's a path for everybody. Yes. And you're definitely, if it's not there, you're making your own.
Right.
And that's what you got to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So shout out to you for
Well, you know, it definitely is a grind, and you have to have an understanding. Like, you know, like I haven't had any experience in the comedy game, but it runs kind of parallel to the trucking. Like, if I was in a relationship when I first started trucking.
Mm.
And then a year into it, it was like she thought that my career path was selfish and I only thought about myself. And she said when I came home, I felt like a booty call.
Mm. I mean, shout out to you.
I mean,
no shit.
Yeah.
Hey, so at least it was you, girl.
No shit, though, bro.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You were coming home, dude, for real.
Yeah, right.
That's how about some gratitude, goddamn it.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Jesus, I mean, that's Christ, a true story.
That's what you
so,
forget.
But it's like, you know, like you think about these women. They have celebrity crushes. Like, you know, they might like Idris Elba or what's the Aquaman name?
Aquaman. Jason Momoa. I mean.
All right. So you.
Yeah. Momoa.
Like, you want to be with these guys. You know, you fantasize about being
with them.
But guess what? Let's say you really hooked up with those guys. You think they'll be home all the time?
No,
they're actors. They're working actors.
Right.
They're going to be on location.
Where you at? Oh, who you filming with? You
right.
Got to kiss that bitch?
Yeah. Like, come on, man. We're entertainers.
Yeah.
Like.
I think part of the problem, though, with my relationship, though, was when I was home, I was not, like,
there
working on it. You know what I mean? I know what I was doing
wrong,
and I know the reality of the situation is. And I think that you can make it work if you're going to be gone and coming home. But when you come home, you better fucking be home. And when you're gone, you got to let her know. And then, you know, it's work.
It's work.
It's work.
There's got to be a give and take. Because they got to accept the fact that, okay, and you got
to. There's ways to make it easier to accept it. And one of those is to be more present in the moments.
But
that
is it that hard? Either you accept it or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, true, dude.
You
and I think if
mean?
They don't accept it, I think that it's better that you go. Because I think the idea that you should, like, well, I mean, it's a personal.
Yeah,
that's up to
obviously
you.
It's a personal thing.
How
yeah,
much
yeah,
do you
yeah.
care about, you know, this
what
new
you're
dream
doing,
or this
exactly.
new path or whatever?
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
I feel like we only have one life, dude. And it's a short, short life, dude.
I mean, the fact of the matter is.
Borrow time, baby.
I'm
on borrow time, baby.
The fact of the matter is, before
100%.
The big thing with the, you know, the so-called the Diddy parties, but the industry parties. I mean, that's a fact. You know, either you come with me or you don't. Like,
right.
yeah,
you're gonna not say that you're gonna be in the Diddy parties.
Right.
I mean, before
you
we all
get
knew,
lucky, you could get no.
Before we all knew what the Diddy parties was, trust me, if we
I
got
mean,
a call, we'd be like, yo,
a little too
Goofy,
yeah.
you got your white? I'm about to go to Diddy party.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
here,
yeah,
midnight
I
mean,
like,
in this bitch.
I would say like 50% of the Diddy party is amazing, dude. And then there's just that last element with the rape where I'm like, why did that even have to be part of the party, dude?
That's if you agreed to it.
I could see like being like invited to a Diddy party. I would totally go to that Diddy party.
Right?
And he's like, oh, no, dude, they were doing that?
Yes.
I was just doing drugs.
The fuck?
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, I was smoking with Mace, but I wasn't trying to...
Right.
Sex trafficking.
I thought,
like, none of that.
Yeah,
but
that's, hey, that's
I
funny.
I didn't know we were murdering Biggie Smalls, bro.
Right?
Like, what?
Right.
What?
Allegedly.
No, dude, they say they're... I'm not getting it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like...
allegedly.
No, but moving forward, like, you know, if you're going to, like, date a Patrick Madison, it's definitely going to be... big in the comedy game, you have to understand that, you know, he's going to be on tour and
right
yeah
and
that's
and,
the goal
and,
man.
And ladies are going to approach him after he gets off stage and they're going to want to know his name and they want to take pictures with him. As long as you're okay with that, you know, you'll be okay,
right?
As long as you understand that, you know, and have an understanding that, you know, like whoever we're with, we're coming home to you and,
right.
we're, and this is entertainment
and
you
be
know?
Red carpet ready.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Get your body in shape. So you can be on our arm when we red on the red carpet.
I mean, come on. That's what we're doing here. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know, man. Yeah, relationships.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of big, gaudy tattoos.
I do.
I don't want no chest tattoos.
Trust me, people. I'm in the gym trying to get my tattoo canvas ready. I'm going to be fucking posting it like artists. Holler at me. I want some ideas. I already got an idea for right here.
Do you have tattoos?
Oh, yeah. I got here.
All right, on.
You got tattoos, Ben? No.
Cover everything up with
here.
A t-shirt.
No. I know no pet tattoos and no piercings.
Yeah. I'm working on this body. I'll veil it on a post eventually, this bitch.
Hell yeah, dude.
I think tattoos and piercings are like, you know what, God, thank you for... giving me all my limbs and all my fingers.
And all this beautiful skin.
And everything.
But I
want
to put some art.
But you know what? I think it would look better if I had a diamond right here.
I think it would look better if I had a diamond right here. That's funny.
Don't worry about it, God, but I'm going to go ahead and do
my
it.
God is up there like, my beautiful. What are you doing? I work so hard on you, Cordell.
You're so perfect.
You're
going to
stick a ring where?
That's how I view tattoos.
A Viking? You're not even white.
Right. Like, come on, man. Like, I thought it would look better if you put a
a panther crawling up my arm, right, blood coming down.
The flesh
out. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But don't worry, God, I'm gonna do it for you.
Thug life.
Yeah, you know, chin. It's like, you know, it's stomach, not a compliment to the chef. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm gonna be sleeved up eventually. I like it.
You gonna get sleeved up?
Yeah, okay. I have an idea for you.
You should already. Do it.
I love it.
You're 48.
46.
I'm surprised. Oh, I thought you said 48.
I'm 49.
I thought you'd been sleeved up by now.
Trust me, it's cost money.
Yeah.
I'm not stable with a good job. I'm
saving up my money. I'm gonna get some sleeves, goddammit.
I'm gonna get some tats. You know what I'm saying? Before his body dies, I'm gonna have some. So you can. I'm just gonna be there naked.
Like a fucking Yakuza.
So you can see my art in my coffin with a leaf.
With a fig leaf.
Maybe I'll have a Viagra, so it's really fucking right.
More like a branch.
I want to remember me how I was.
More like
not
a branch.
The way I look.
So Patrick, what's down the pipe for you, man? Like you know, what should people know about Patrick Madison?
Well, I don't know what they should know about. Just working on the Double Chuckle Comedy Tour. You can check us out on facebook.com/Double Chuckle Comedy Tour.
Nice.
Just working on that, dude. Just trying to get my game up, man. As a comedian, I would like to, you know, have more material. I would like to be able to headline my own shows. Right now, I have John King headline the shows.
Okay.
So, I mean, hopefully in the next year or two, I'm able to, you know, just trying to practice my work on the art.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just that's where my mind is at right now.
And movies. He's into acting, Pete. He wants to act now, too.
I would love to act. If somebody has an opportunity for me, I would love to hear entertain anything.
He's a kind.
Probably even porno, I would consider. Fuck.
So. Some bone chicka wow wow.
Y'all ever wanted a funny porno guy? I don't know. I could be that man. I'm just saying, crossover hit. I don't know.
There you go. Hit him up, ladies, in the DMs.
Definitely hit me up, ladies. I'm not going to get any ladies. I'm going to get scary men.
Right.
Scary,
that guy sending you toe pics and shit. What the fuck?
Like, what does his feet look like?
Luckily.
So to the Midnight Pocket Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services, help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
All right, everybody. You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the great underscore C-O-R-E-E. On Instagram, or you can follow us both. I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast. Hey, we had a special guest, Patrick Madison. Where can they find you?
Double Chuckle Comedy Tour, facebook.com/Double Chuckle Comedy Tour. That's the one I would like the most followers. And then just Patrick Madison or Patrick Madison Jokes on Instagram.
Man, thank you very much for joining us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. For real, dude. Thank y'all.
Yep.
Thank
appreciate you. Everybody. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.